Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm your co-host, Colin Stewart. I'm joined here by a guy who's SDR, who's only been in the company for 14 months, just sourced their first million. Jake, do I have that right?
Yeah, $1,130,000. No, wow. Not that I'm counting.
But. No, of course not. It's not in a dashboard that says this is how awesome and amazing Jake is and his SDR team.
I actually take the credit for like everyone's success on the team. So
yeah, I like to do that too. It's a great way of looking good.
Yeah, no big deal.
So everybody, welcome Jake Biscar. He's the head of sales development at Rainforest QA. Today we're going to talk to Jake's going to talk to us a little bit about the sort of balance between humanizing your outreach versus hitting your activity goals and sort of how to make things predictable. A couple of things we're going to do is just talk about some of the different tools that he uses to keep his SDRs excited about coming to work every day and closing $1 million before they hit 2 years. I mean, damn, well done, man.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, I think everyone is having the same issue that we are, where we're just trying to figure out the fine line between activity and customization. So looking forward to talking with you guys. Thanks for having me on, by the way. I'm a massive fan of just like the predictable revenue theory in general, and then that series of literature as well. So thanks.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on the show. When we were talking a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned to me something interesting that you thought that relying on email is irresponsible. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah. So when we first started, or when I started and I was a pretty junior manager, I was at a company called Talkdesk before this. We were heavy on activity KPIs. So the first thing I did when I got to Rainforest, as a manager, I think I was about employee number 20, got here pre-Series A. I decided like activity is the only way that you can be successful as a team. And so I was at Talkdesk around the same amount of people, around employee number 20 or 30. So early on at companies, activity is a really good metric for judging if somebody is going to be successful or not. So we were using email numbers to judge that. And we did the same thing at Rainforest, and all of a sudden, the return on email activity just wasn't the same as it was 6 months ago or 12 months ago. So I say irresponsible in the sense that you really should be doing a lot of other stuff alongside of emails. I mean, emails are our foundation. Like, there's no way around that. That's the foundation. We're reaching out to developers, CTOs. Emails are the way for us, but if you're not doing other things to humanize yourself, which is probably a word I'll ever say on this podcast multiple times, but if you're not figuring out a way to humanize yourself, then the way that you're reaching out is irresponsible. You're basically relying on a number to get you to your number, which is what the company is ultimately staking its monthly quota on. So,
and the SDRs are staking their monthly quota on you being able to help them get there.
Exactly. So if I say, well, you had 700 emails, good job, maybe next month, then that's where I mean sort of that's a little irresponsible. So I think that there's a lot of really cool, interesting ways that I've actually learned from your guys' podcast and a bunch of other podcasts on, or blogs as well, just like other things that you can do to be creative to make yourself stand out a little bit.
Awesome. So why don't we jump in? Because I love the way you sort of framed it up, is the tools that you're trying to find to help keep your SDRs excited. Mm-hmm. So you're reaching out to CTOs and engineers?
Yeah. I mean, CTO, VP of engineering, director, anybody that's on the product side that's technical. I mean, we're reaching out to PMs as well, product managers, director of product, VP product, but it's not quite as equitable as somebody that's like in the trenches actually building the platforms.
Gotcha. So where do you start? Which is I think one of the tools you had mentioned was talking about something about coffee. You're sending these guys coffee?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're using a bunch of different tools. We're using a tool called Sendoso that's way later on in our funnel. I use the word funnel because everyone else uses the word funnel, but it's later on in our process where we've reached out and maybe they've expressed interest previously. Maybe they're a perfect prospect, and so we really want to like catch their attention early. And so we're using Sendoso, which is, well, they have a Chrome extension. They also just actually integrated with Outreach, is what we're using as our email platform. But you can just click that button and it pops up, and you can send them a Starbucks gift card for $5. I'd say the success rate on that is at about 50%. You get your money returned back to you if they don't redeem the gift card. And people seem to really like that. It's sort of like an extra touch. We're using it on rebuttals now. You know, it's just another tool in the toolbox of the SDR. Cause I mean, like, they're constantly up against it, right? Like, people are kind of mad that they're reaching out, or, you know, everyone is very finicky if it seems that you didn't do enough research on their company. It's just a great way to sort of break the ice and say, hey, listen, like we're with you on this. Here's a coffee. Like, I have no idea, or like, I have no doubt that we can actually add value for you guys. Is there any chance that we can get some time? And it works pretty well. So
you said something interesting there, that you're using it on rebuttals. So if somebody's saying, you know, send me some information, or no thanks, or I'm, you know, common objection, maybe I don't need this, or something like that, you're like, hey, have a coffee? Or how does it
Sure. Through that process? If anybody's going to give us any context on what they're doing for their development process, for us, that's like invaluable, because that's research that we can't garner anywhere else besides the source. Mm-hmm. So they give us that info, and we can send them a coffee as sort of like a thank you. And it's also a way for us to get in like one more line. So if they're saying like, hey, we actually outsource our QA, or we're not looking for an outsourced provider, we have like three devs that are doing it internally, then that's a way for us to say like, thank you so much for the context. Really appreciate it. That's what we hear a lot from our current customers. The reason that they went with Rainforest was this, this, and this. If that ever changes down the line, like, please let us know. And then we send them a coffee, and we usually ask for a follow-up timeline, like 2 or 3 months. With us, timing is crucial to get people involved in the sales cycle. And so, as I'm sure for a lot of people. So, you know, when you follow up in that thread, and that thread has you sending them a gesture of kindness or whatever you want to call it, then it usually nets you a better response that second time.
Very cool. Now you've actually got some, you've put some screenshots and things together. Do you want to share your screen and sort of walk us through?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we can, let's see here, bring that up. Yeah, so I was just going to give you guys a brief outline sort of our SDR team. And then, I mean, you just let me know what's interesting to you guys. I don't want to go on and bore everybody that's listening, but
I think everybody, the feedback that we've gotten, and shoot me an email or hit me up on Twitter if this is not the case, but the episodes that really have resonated with most people are the ones where we go into the nitty gritty details.
Cool. Yeah. Happy to do that. So just for context and why this is working for our team right now, and some of the KPIs that we go off of, and then I can dig into some tools that we're using. So we have 10 outbound SDRs that are all split up geographically. They have a 12 sales qualified opportunity quota. Our sales qualified opportunity quota, I'd say is pretty strict, and it's pretty indicative of a really, really good lead. So, the meeting has to occur, and then there actually has to be interest in next steps, within like next 3 months or so. And maybe that's how it is for everybody. But, you know, I think 12 is pretty good. And, that usually takes us setting up about 14 to 15 meetings. It's interesting selling to developers. We don't really have a no-show issue. It seems that if you're on their calendar, then they're going to be pretty punctual. So that's kind of cool. So 12 squads. And then the key KPIs that we're going off of are all pretty much activity-based. I'd like to navigate away from that as we get a little larger, but again, it's just 10 SDRs right now. As we get a little larger, we'll obviously move over to account-based, and we'll be able to track a little bit differently. But right now, this has been working really well for where we're at. So 500 leads in sequence, 30 dials. A dial for us is either leaving a voicemail, connecting to the person, or actually talking to like a gatekeeper so that they do know that we called. It makes it a lot easier for us to track. and then 100 to 150 leads prospected.
And is that on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis?
These are all weekly. So this is 500 leads in sequence at any given time during the week. Mm-hmm. And these are 100 to 150 leads prospected within the week.
What does prospected mean? How do you define that?
Yeah, we can dig into that right now. So
cool.
A tool that I'd like want to shout out, because I would probably quit sales development if it didn't exist, to be quite honest with you, is a tool called TriProspect. I took a screen grab here and I can share it with you guys if you want, but it's just a tool that sits inside of LinkedIn. It's very, very cool. You guys should hit up Omar at TriProspect if you guys want any more info on that. He's not giving us any licenses for me to say that. I just am so grateful for the tool and it's unlimited use. So it's pretty amazing. But anyway, so TriProspect is a tool that we're using very heavily every day. I have my SDRs prospecting at least 3 to 4 hours a day. Mm-hmm. As we grow, we're going to specialize. People are going to be more specialized in writing customized messaging. Other people will be list building. But right now, everybody sort of handles the full cycle. And we can dig into that too, if you want to talk about that a little bit. But so yeah, this has right now we've got a database of like 100,000 leads. 65,000 of those have been created by SDRs over the last 2 years. So it's a really, really clean database, which has a ton of advantages as you go through and try to create new plays around leads that are already existing in your database. It's pretty awesome. I'm not sure if you guys can see that. I can try to zoom in a little bit. But over here on the side, you see, so this is one of my SDRs, Alex. And you can see over here, we have his email. You can get a phone number. But most importantly, for leads that I want my SDRs to spend a little more time on, I would prefer that they customize the first line of the email or the PS. And I know that that's kind of a big ask, and we try to do it through Google Docs, which I've heard people talk about briefly on this podcast as well. For us, it just like wasn't really working. It was hard for me to track. Now we have prospect notes added down here while we're prospecting. So for me, I noticed that Alex was previously a firefighter. Mm-hmm. So I'll just say something like, congrats on the recent career move. And then the rest of it is canned. And I'll show you what that looks like down below. But that's been really, really successful for us. That increased our open rates by about 20%, as you can see down here. So this middle one, it doesn't have the custom field. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and wow.
This top one does. So that's a small sample size, but that's because I don't do a lot of SDRing anymore.
That's fair.
So, and somebody was just using my account actually to do this, but you can look at other people's outreach and it's pretty much identical. So.
Gotcha. And so for those that can't see that are maybe listening in and they're wondering like what's going on, you've got a Chrome add-in that's sitting on top of LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. That's got a couple of fields, custom fields in there that you've mapped into Salesforce.
Yeah. Yep. So prospect notes sits directly inside the lead detail. And we just pull that when we're exporting a CSV into Outreach.
Okay.
So we don't do the direct sync from Salesforce to Outreach because we also want to clean up the company name. We want to clean up the person's title because we usually leverage that in the email. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we send a more personalized email and we map prospect notes into a custom field. So it's either the first line or a PS. Both seem to work pretty well. People just kind of want to feel like you care about them a little bit. So
you actually looked at their profile and had something interesting to say as opposed to.
Exactly. So it's been working well for us. I mean, the constant battle is one, like I said, humanizing ourselves, but two, getting open rates up. I mean, the more you email people and the more that emails are noisy, in everyone's inbox, the less frequency you see for open rates. So
for sure, man. So that boosted just personalizing the intro line. I guess that's the line that you can see when you're sort of previewing the email, and then the PS, it probably has more of an impact on the, like them responding.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And the click-through rate is a lot higher as well. So people see that you actually did your research. So they think that your message is much more applicable to them. So the curiosity is heightened a little bit as well, which is like all you could ever ask for as an SDR, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Right on, man. So now that we've boosted open rates, you've helped our SDR teams boost open rates by 20%. What's next?
That's it, man. I'm done. I retired after that. Cool. No, just kidding. This is another example too, down here, sort of like the custom, how we do the PS custom field. But
gotcha.
Anyways, so another tool, and I'm happy to share with everybody on here because I think it's a really cool tool. Just LinkedIn views. So I've had my guys, and we can go back up to Alex here real quick. I've had my guys sort of like humanize themselves in any way they can. It's not zooming in. There we go. Humanize themselves in any way they can, like on their LinkedIn profile. So I urge people to write blog posts. I think that that's really important, especially publishing your own content. That's going to make you much more human to somebody that's coming through and improving your LinkedIn. And then like another thing, and I'd be interested to get your opinion on this or anybody's, I'm not a big fan of people that put their company's value prop in this first line right here where it says firefighter gone tech. Mm-hmm. I really hate when it says like helping companies like find more leads or, you know, something that's so empty. 'Cause I feel like we're selling through email. There's no need to sell through LinkedIn. It's just a place to like, that's like your own platform. Mm-hmm. So for me, I urge my team to sort of like just put stuff that they're into that kind of explains like what they are, who they are.
But then afterwards, put the company's value prop in.
Sure. Yeah. Down. Yeah, exactly.
We can see, for those that are listening, we can see the screen and he's got, you know, former firefighter / paramedic gone Rainforest QA. Rainforest QA helps teams.
There you go.
Dot, dot.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, and like, however people want to loop that in, that's cool. If they don't want to, that's fine as well. I hope that our emails can educate people enough. But anyway, so LinkedIn views, back to what I was saying, LinkedIn views are really important for us. I've noticed recently, this is a new tool that I had our CTO build, where we take all the URLs of people or all the LinkedIn URLs of people that we have active in sequence. Mm-hmm. And then we put them in to this URL box. And I'm sorry for the people that can't see, I keep forgetting that this is also audio and not video, but we put it into this URL box and then we run that and it automatically opens up everybody's LinkedIn profile. So we're constantly viewing people's LinkedIn. They're always seeing that we're checking out what they're up to. And hopefully that's going to, one, increase our team's LinkedIn viability and two, increase people's curiosity into Rainforest.
So. Cool. For people that can't see, it's just a plain box with a little button that says go.
Yeah.
it's super well designed, but
nothing fancy.
You'd be blown away here.
Nothing fancy. But what we've been doing as well, another little hack is I've been logging into our CEO and CTO's LinkedIn, and we've been viewing from their profiles as well. It's just all part of sort of like trying to make the prospect feel special in a way. So,
and what's the, I mean, obviously you're a man of numbers. What's the impact that you've seen this have?
Yeah. So reply rate is up for us in the last 3 weeks. I don't want to associate it directly to that. I mean, I'm very like, you know, as well as I do that to have a really good, clear, sample number, or I don't know, I got to see in statistics, so you guys will have to help me out with the jargon, but
yeah,
to get a really good sample size and to have it actually have statistical validity, you really have to have a controlled environment, which is so hard to have when you're prospecting. You know, maybe the titles are different, so I'm very cautious to really draw strong conclusions, but I can guarantee you that reply rates will increase, and at the worst case, you have more visibility. to your prospects on LinkedIn, and they will have heard of your company, no doubt about it.
Cool.
Yeah. So, but in terms of reply rates, at like maybe a 5-10%, it's pretty minor, but this is also a really minor aspect of the workflow as well. So.
Gotcha. And you said anybody that comes and checks out, you're going to share this as like a Dropbox paper file here.
Sure.
Looks like there's a link in there they can click and they can actually use this.
Yeah. And they can run it. They can just paste their LinkedIn URL in there and have a go. I'm not sure if it'll break it. I had my CTO put this together in about 5 minutes, but you know, I'm sure it can't be too tough to build. I'm not super technical, but.
Cool, man. It's just going to open a whole bunch of links for you.
Yeah. It just opens windows.
Love it.
Yeah.
Cool. So what's next?
Yeah. So those are the tools that we use. I guess I'm not sure what the audience might find interesting. I'm happy to talk about sort of like how we're building our team. I honestly think that we have one of, in terms of revenue sourced, we have one of the most successful SDR teams, maybe in San Francisco right now. I want to say Silicon Valley, but it sounds super pretentious. So, we have about 10 SDRs right now. I'm going to move to 12. And over the course of 2 years, we've sourced about $6.5 million in revenue from outbound prospecting. And, you know, some of that's churned and it's always fluctuating. And as a company, we're just south of 10 million right now, but it's a good chunk. And I think that we've done it in sort of an interesting way where we've allowed autonomy for a lot of our SDRs. So for me, one of the main things I focus on all day is spending time hiring and spending time finding the people that want to be a part of a team. It's really easy to find an SDR who wants to be the number one SDR and perceives competition as like, I have to be number one at all costs. I think the real people that come in and do well are the ones that perceive competition as lifting up the team and actually making the team be really successful. And then on top of that, you add so much value that like, even though your numbers are maybe middle of the road, you're perceived as a top performer. That's sort of like where we're trying to get to as a team. And that's what's been working for us. So yeah, that's like my, besides all these fun little tools and KPIs, my number one focus is hiring a good team that can be cohesive. Cause at the end of the day, the number one reason people say they come work here is because they enjoyed meeting everybody on the team and they felt like it was like a real warm environment. That's the number one reason people are into it. And we honestly, because of that, we haven't had any voluntary churn on our team, and we've had people in the position for up to about a year and a half so far. So, so yeah, it's pretty cool. It's something I'm pretty proud of personally. And it's cool to find other people that share the same value and that are also in sales. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so rewarding when you've got a great team with a bunch of people that, you know, it feels like everybody enjoys working on the team, enjoys coming to work and like competing against each other in sort of a fun and jovial way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So love to sort of focus on like, what are some of the results? Like 6.5 million. That's amazing. And those aren't one-off sales. This is like, we're talking annual recurring revenue here, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's averaging around 60K, annual deal. And that's our average deal size. And, yeah, people it's all revenue that's really here. So it's not just like a one-time thing. We're not selling different size seats or anything. We're basically just selling a license. And so, yeah, it's pretty good. I think I messed with the share.
Nope, we can still see.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I got your dashboards here.
Cool. Great. So anyways, I can bring my face back on here until we talk about dashboards. But yeah, so that's the number one thing that I'm into. The first thing that I have people do when they join the team is, I'm not sure if you've read the book. It's called Ego is the Enemy.
Mm-hmm. Ryan Halliday.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really good. I was just seeing a ton of AEs come in and SDRs that get a taste of success and they actually do really, really well. And then either fizzle out or like they get let go. And it's never because of performance. I've seen people perform terribly and they still stay on if they're a team player, especially here, because they'll eventually come around. I think likability is very important, but it seems like ego is the number one thing that's killing careers right now. So for me, I just want people to come in, kind of like read that book a little bit. It's kind of cheesy. I hate people that prescribe books and stuff like that. But for us, it's been super successful. So
awesome.
Cool.
So before we jump into the results and dashboard, because I think that'd be a pretty strong place for us to finish. When we were having our when we talked last, you mentioned a tool that you were matching up reference customers and industry tags.
Yeah.
I mean, probably not the most beautiful thing to show off, but do you want to just walk me through what you guys are doing here? Because I imagine you could, I mean, I think you probably have a full script for it, but I imagine this could be something that can be rebuilt in a Google Sheet or something like that.
For sure. And that's exactly what we did is I just had one of my developers come over and kind of shadow my workflow for the day. Mm-hmm. And I asked them, like, what would you automate here? And it's really cool because they offer up a lot of their time as well. This company is amazing in terms of collaboration, all the way up from Fred, the CEO, to all the way to the SDR team. So it was great. So he came over, helped us out, and I was going through and manually taking all the companies that we have, maybe in the fintech space, putting them into a custom field on a Google Sheet, mm-hmm. and then having the word fintech go into a custom field. And then the copy would read, because you're in the fintech space, we work with this, and this company. I thought you might find us interesting. Something along those lines. A little more eloquent than that. But ultimately, he just created an app on Heroku that if it has whatever industry it's in, and mm-hmm. we do the industry when we're prospecting, whatever industry it's in, I just run that, and then it auto fills all the customers that we have in that industry or the top two. So I just have to update a Google Doc with any of the, whatever we think the top two customers are in any industry. And then it auto fills that. So that's pretty cool. We did that with territories as well. So if you do like a list buy and you get some locations and you need to territorize them for your SDRs, we did that through a Heroku app. So yeah, there's a lot of different ways that you can collaborate with your developers, and they'll make your life a lot easier. But for us, it's been cool. I haven't seen a huge return on that. It's just always nice to come off a little more professional, I think, in your outbound. But mm-hmm.
And so you're automatically matching up like your top two customers or top two competitors in the space as basically like a mail merge tag.
Exactly.
Essentially, you're throwing that into the template.
Yeah. Yeah. So
just an awesome little trick that I think. You know, some people thought like, I know I've thought about like, hey, how could I easily do this? And I know I've sat there and gone through that spreadsheet so many times.
I know. I'm like, I feel like a data scientist at some point, like in the loosest sense of the term, but, yeah. You know, where you're just sort of going through and like manipulating spreadsheets all day and then uploading it. I don't know. So yeah, there's always a little hack somewhere along the line.
Cool. The last little hack that I remember you telling me that, when people don't respond to your email, you send the goons or the bots after them and just retarget them everywhere.
Sure. Yeah. So we've been doing a couple things. We've noticed, so as replies go down, because we're a little more heavy on email, outreach is cool. Outreach is like our CS or our CRM, sorry, our CRM for emailing, and it has basically the history of every email that we've ever sent as a company. So we can see if somebody hasn't opened any emails. So we go through and we have a cool add-on that's a deduper that anyone can get for free inside of Google Docs. And we take all of our replies all of our opens and everyone that we have in sequence, and then we dedupe against them by email. And then we usually get an output of about 400 people that have never opened an email from Rainforest QA. So we know from those, and I'd say 400 out of 1,000, you know, 60% open rate. And we know that of those people, email is probably not the best way to target them. So we're going to try everything else. Usually LinkedIn InMail is the number one way that we're doing it, because that's basically just like another email touch. But, you know, we're going to try to find them on Twitter. We're going to try to reach out to them over the phone. We'll throw in a bunch of different touches because the more and more that you get into like some of this outbound process, you realize like a lot of these leads have been touched a lot of times. So for my team, that's like, wow, this is a fresh lead basically. I'm going to give it a little more time and spend some more time on it.
Gotcha. So when you said retargeting, you're not just like following them around on websites and things like that. You're trying something different sort of outside of your normal email and call tool.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And a lot of those people now, so another awesome use for Sendoso is the actual direct mail stuff. Mm-hmm. I think direct mail is really, really valuable, especially to people that have never been touched before. So Sendoso actually has a fulfillment center and we send a lot of swag there. Then we tell them what sort of box we want curated. So maybe we want someone to receive a t-shirt, a handwritten letter, and then like some stickers. They'll get that box all together. They'll send it out to the address that we decide. We do that all through Salesforce. And then it automatically tags that person as receiving a Sendoso box. So then I can run reports on all of those. Who's received that? What validity does it have for them being an actual prospect for us or turning into a customer? And then from there, it's just like one more extra touch. And as we try to go up to enterprise, we're finding that that's like more and more important and actually almost a necessity at this point. So.
Awesome. Bringing us back to relying solely on email.
Yeah.
Is irresponsible. Even though you guys are pretty heavily email based, you're doing all these other things to sort of augment and boost and just sort of not cheating here and there, but, you know, trying to find, get a leg up, you know, and if, you know, 10 different places, I'm sure has a huge impact.
Sure. It's hard. Like, and everyone on our team is manually prospecting every person that they're reaching out to. Mm-hmm. We're not out there buying lists or anything. We know that these are good people to reach out to. This is the SDR's pipeline. And so for us to just send emails after spending so much time prospecting, like that's when it sort of gets irresponsible. And that's when you have to sort of be a little more dynamic and fluid in the way that you reach out. And yeah, I mean, one of the issues that comes with that though is the SDR. Some common complaints that I hear from my team is don't know where to spend our time. Like it's very hard to prioritize that. And it just comes with practice and iteration. But as we grow, like we'll have people specializing in certain aspects, and that's the overarching goal. Like I'd love to have a team of SDRs and then junior SDRs who are just out there sort of like SDRing for the SDR who's going to be doing the more specialized outreach. But anyways,
cool, man.
That's a whole nother podcast, but
totally. Yeah. We've been thinking about sort of going and taking the specialization another layer deeper. We've tried a few experiments here.
Oh, well. Really? Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
How's that working?
You know, pretty interesting. You know, splitting up the sort of responding, splitting up the sourcing, splitting up the writing, the personalization in that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you find the right person that's phenomenal at writing emails. You've seen a huge lift.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, we've specialized and then sort of learned from that and then figured, okay, well, how do we bring this back? And then we've sort of broken it apart and brought it back together a couple of times.
Yeah.
Always experimenting and playing with and trying to find new ways of like increasing the getting better positive response rates and, you know, converting more people that you reach out to, right, into good conversations.
Yeah. Organized chaos.
Yeah, exactly. Enough about me. So let's talk about the results. Let's jump into some of your dashboards. I know we just got a few minutes left here, but I'd love to just, yeah, if you, what you can show and maybe spotlight some people in your team and the amazing work that they're doing.
Sure. Yeah. Let's share the screen here. So, yeah, I mean, this is sort of like what I'm focused on primarily, and that's going to be, replies. So, I think replies are first and foremost leading indicator of somebody being successful in this position. Mm-hmm. Replies are going to come from you doing several different things. It's not primarily going to come from leads in sequence, although that is a great indicator. But, you know, like if somebody's getting up to 30 replies, I have no doubt that in terms of meeting schedule, they'll be pretty well set. One thing that we also like to track our meeting scheduled for next month, meeting scheduled for this month, and then no shows. So I'd like to keep track of no shows and all that good stuff. Dials are usually done on Thursday and Friday. You know, I always got to light a fire, so to speak, on the team, as you can see. Mm-hmm. So that's important as well. But the other thing is just revenue sourced by SDR. And so you can see that, which is pretty awesome to see, which is the million. Somebody else is almost onto a million. So having revenue right there, because for us, we don't comp on revenue for the SDR. I feel like you don't want to have that. Like, that's a whole nother battle. And if you pick that battle in terms of like figuring out, okay, you get 3% on this deal, then you have to have like the attribution argument. It's just not worth it. So we comp on squoze, period. But I do little spiffs along the way for revenue source because it's massively important to the business. I just don't want somebody to have to be like battling over, you know, like a 60K deal when, you know, it's double attribution between them and another SDR. Mm-hmm. We'll just split it halfway and it's not a big deal. So
much easier.
Yeah, much easier. And then, yeah, I mean, like it's a basic dashboard. It's all activity based. I'd like to have a dashboard that's a little more along the lines of business needs. Mm-hmm. And really, I'm going to stop sharing. So,
yeah, I got one question. Just before we move away from the dashboard, because you've got dials, or sorry, if you scroll up just a bit more, you had meetings scheduled next month, meeting scheduled this month, and then no shows. Mm-hmm. How are you guys tracking that? Like, what is the actual process in Salesforce? Do you guys have on the activities or?
Sure. Yeah. So we just changed this, which I think is really, really cool. So, we have three fields. We have a demo status, and it's either in scheduled, no show, or completed. And we only track off of completed. And also if it goes to stage one. So if it's in stage zero and it's a no show, then it's going to, then they'll obviously fall into this bucket. It's kind of confusing to dig into super deep, but maybe this will add a little more clarity. So on the squoz, if we go down here, the demo status is completed. Mm-hmm. And then the stage is stage one, stage two. But the big differentiator here is that the last stage prior to lost isn't equal to stage zero. So basically what that's saying is that they've accepted the op, they moved it to stage one, they worked it for however long, maybe a week, 2 weeks, maybe the person comes back and pushes for 3 months. We'll move that to close lost, but because it was in stage one, it's never going to fall off the dashboard. Mm-hmm. That's been a huge help for us because we can see everything that's actually happening in real time.
Yeah.
And the ownership on the SDR side has just been incredible. They get to sort of see like, this is where my deal is at. They get to see some of these follow-up emails that are being sent because every SDR wants to be a part of the sales cycle because they all want to be AEs.
Yeah.
And this gives them a little more ownership. So.
Awesome. And so demo status, just to go back here, I think I've got an understanding of there's 100 different ways you could do this, but where does that demo status live?
Yeah, I'll try to jump into an opportunity without, I'm letting you guys into my world over here. I feel a little nervous.
Love it. I mean, so far you get pretty large and impressive numbers. I don't think you got too much to be stressing about.
Yeah. Who knows what I can show and not show. It doesn't matter. Anyways. So, right here is where we do the stage and the demo status. So this is a really old one, but demo status is living inside of the opportunity detail or opportunity information. And so we used to map off a QPS date. QPS date got changed to demo date. So we always put the date that the demo is going to take place. That helps us sort of map the three stages of scheduled, squo, no squo, or then no show as well. So.
Okay. And so when your SDR actually books the meeting, they create the opportunity, they set the QPS date. What does that stand for?
Yeah. I have no idea, to be honest. Now it's demo date. So this is an old op. Yeah.
But okay.
Now it's demo date. So yeah, it's been working really, really well. People love having more clarity. It used to just be QPS date, and we just used to purely map off of meeting scheduled and then SQOs, or sales qualified ops.
Gotcha.
Now everyone loves seeing sort of the whole flow.
That's awesome. And so the demo status is basically booked, or sorry, scheduled and no-showed. And then there was a third one, right?
Yeah. Scheduled, no-show. And then what was it? No, I can't think of it. Yeah. Scheduled, no-show, and completed.
Oh, okay.
And so we only comp off of completed and stage one or beyond.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it makes it super easy. There's nobody's wondering where they're at for ops for the month, and it allows our CRO, who I report to, mm-hmm. to sort of go through and figure out exactly where we're at as a team and you know, not micromanage, but really have a grip on what's going on.
Get a good feel. Just out of curiosity, seeing as we had Salesforce open, would you mind showing, because I know there are people that are sitting here thinking, I, you know, you showed me the formulas and how you calculate for the no-shows. Could mm-hmm. you just jump quickly into the other two? So if somebody is listening to this and they're like, oh man, how did you do that? I'm not a Salesforce ninja. You know, they can just jump in and say, okay, this is how Jake did it. We can
idea. I need to give a shout out to our Salesforce ninja, who's actually an AE. This guy, Paul Barber. He's a living legend in the sales space. But anyways. So you want to see how we're doing for this, or?
Yeah, I'd love to see. So we did, I think we looked at, let's look at mid-month. So meeting, let me think here. Yeah, meeting scheduled.
Here's meeting scheduled. So we're mapping primarily off of, if it's the SDR owner, that's on the SDR side.
Yeah.
If it's in stage zero, which basically just means that we've created an op for it. Mm-hmm. And if the demo status is not equal to no show.
Gotcha. And so that's how you just determine if it's still scheduled and waiting to be. There's no custom logic that says it has to be the opportunity date has to be in the future.
Exactly, because we're just mapping off of demo date, as you can see up here.
Yeah.
And so I just do demo date for the 2 weeks.
There it is.
Yeah. So one thing that we should note is that for us, for the SDRs, because we always get these things that we like to call bluebirds. I don't know what other people call them, but deals that come in kind of hot. Mm-hmm. You know, SDRs naturally are going to push a little harder towards the end of the month. I think it's just human nature. And so the end of the month for us is the middle of the month. So hopefully some of those deals can sort of trickle in for the AE, or more importantly, the venture capital end of month.
Gotcha. So your whole company has a end of month is mid month?
No, just the SDR team.
Just the SDR team. Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah. And that allows them to get paid commission at the beginning of the month as well, which I think with how crazy rent is in San Francisco is actually pretty beneficial to everybody. So mm-hmm. everyone's not rent poor for like the first 2 weeks of the month. But so it's been working out really well for us. It's a little confusing to build reports on this stuff, but other than that, it's not too bad. So
great, man.
Again, does that answer your question kind of?
Yeah, totally. I love getting when people can show the formulas and say, this is actually how I did it. I think it's one thing to say, oh, you want to track this, you want to track that, but like actually seeing the formulas for those that haven't spent n number of years in playing in Salesforce, it's really helpful. So they can just go in and see that.
Yeah, that took me a few days to get a hold of for sure. But yeah, it's super important. And because we're at the stage that we are, we don't have somebody, well, we just actually hired someone that I'm super excited about, but we never had anybody that handled Salesforce primarily. Mm-hmm. It was sort of just like, it would fall to, you know, maybe like director of finance or, some sort of like half-time sales ops person. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Jake, I want to thank you for coming on. This has been super valuable.
Cool. Yeah, man, I appreciate it. And thank you guys for doing this. I think it's cool when like the SDR space has sort of like this common voice. It's commonly overlooked and there's not enough collaboration. So.
Right on, man.
Cool.
Well, thanks again.
Cool. Thanks, man. See ya.